Sport on RTE Radio 1.
Now it's time to speak to Darren Frehel. And Darren, the world of not just horse racing, I think everybody has been absolutely heartbroken by the news of the death of Michael O'Sullivan, the young jockey who died.
Indeed, Maggie, yeah. You know what, this time every week on a Monday, we usually reflect on so many of the high points of the weekend, maybe some drama, a bit of controversy thrown in every now and again. But, you know, I think the one story really dominating the sports headlines this weekend is that passing of Michael O'Sullivan. Young jockey died following his fall 12 days ago at Thurles. A tragic accident. He was only 24 years of age, had achieved so much and had so much more to come as well. Former jockey and broadcaster Jane Mangan joins me on the line now. Jane, first of all, I know he's someone that's he's from down around your region and you would know the family. Can you tell us a little bit about Michael and the career he's had to date?
Well, Michael comes from one of the most respected families in the country, and I don't say that lightly. I the community of Cork Waterford is a point-to-point circuit family, and just to contextualise that, his uncle Eugene and his father William teamed up for a Cheltenham Festival win back in 1991. And 29 years later, Eugene, Michael's uncle, trained winner that very same race with Michael's first cousin Maxine when it came to pass, won the race in 2020. So they're really steeped in National Hunt racing down in Lumbertstown, just outside Mallow. And I can honestly say that Michael would have grown up with those pictures on the mantelpiece, knowing that all he ever wanted to be was a jockey. So, you know, I think he was probably doing his dream job. And for his parents, William and Bernie, their youngest son, Alan, they have two kids, Michael and Alan. Alan is also an amateur rider himself. So they would have grown up on a dairy farm, always had horses, always watching racing, and always, I don't think anything was ever else on Michael's agenda. I know he got a UCD degree. I know he was keen to learn the language of French because he wanted to, you know, not just confine himself to riding races in Britain and Ireland, but he also wanted to ride in France, which he was doing. So he might have only been 24. And I think his birthday is this Friday. He would have been 25. He managed to become champion novice rider in the point-to-point circuit in 2019. He turned professional, and in his first season as a professional, he was crowned champion amateur, or champion conditional, sorry, in 2023. He had grade one successes on Marine National and Goodland, and he won, obviously, the Fred Winter on Jazzy Matty that day in 2023. He rode a double at the Cheltenham Festival at such a young age, and even as recently as New Year's Day at Tramore, he won on the Willie Mullins trained Embassy Gardens, a Gold Cup horse, hope for Willie Mullins. So he was keeping the best of company, but he had that talent. You know, it's sometimes in these situations, people talk about, you know, they were the best, they were this and they were that. But he actually has so many credentials racked up for a guy who was so young. And sometimes when young people get success instantly, people around them would be worried that it would go to their head or it would all happen too soon. But there was never that worry with Michael, because he had he had a maturity that is kind of rare for somebody of that age. And you knew whatever pressure that was going to put on his shoulders, he was ready for it. And there was no worry with Michael. He was just a natural.
The O'Sullivan family have taken an important decision, haven't they? Maybe just fill us in on what decision they've taken in relation to Michael and his body.
Yeah, so Michael obviously got that fall over 10 days ago in Thurles. And it's been, I suppose, the racing community has been hoping, everybody, the sporting family has been hoping that, you know, we get better news. But when the news came through on Sunday, obviously everybody was devastated, and it was, and it still is, it's quite numb, hard to comprehend it and process it. But the family have taken the decision to donate Michael's organs so that somebody, some families in their position, won't be in their position, that they can have a bright light at the end of a dark tunnel. And somewhere yesterday in the country, somebody received a big, strong, brave heart. And that was because William and Bernie and Michael's family made what must have been an impossible decision to enhance somebody else's situation so that they don't have to experience what they're experiencing right now.
Jay Mangan, thanks for that lovely tribute this morning. And we are thinking of the family and the friends and all the community of Michael O'Sullivan this morning. In soccer news, Bohemians beat Shamrock Rovers 1-0 in the SSE or Trissy League Premier Division in front of a crowd of over 32,000 supporters at the Aviva Stadium. The attendance a record for a League of Ireland match. The Rovers manager Stephen Bradley has been telling Adrian Eames that this is a positive step for the game, but he is calling on everyone to come together to address the challenges of facilities on a whole.
Yeah, it's a positive step forward for the league. I think we've got to recognise that it's a positive step, but we also got to understand that we can't let people off the hook in terms of the facilities domestically. This isn't sustainable every week. I think that's quite obvious. So we can't be patting ourselves on the back because we've had one game. We need to understand, yeah, it was good, positive step for the league, shows the potential. But we need real investment domestically in every facility across the league. And if we do that and we build the right stadiums, we know we get the crowds, but we can't get carried away with this.
And people like you have been banging that drum. Do you think it's falling on deaf ears at the moment, or are you optimistic that things will change?
I'm hoping it'll change, but it's up to us as a league and as a country not to allow it just to fall away. You know, I think today shows the potential, but facilities across the world need to improve. We need real investment in facilities, and if we do that, then we can really start growing the league. Virgin coming in, it's great for the league. It's another step forward, but we need real investment if we're serious about taking this league forward.
And I know, Stephen, obviously after a defeat today, you quickly have to put this to the back of your mind because you have another big, big game looming on Thursday, the second leg against Mulda. And you had a couple of players picking up knocks in the first half, Gary O'Neill and Adam Matthews both going off.
Yeah, but that's what we do. We play Thursday, we win the game. We're not out celebrating, it's about focusing balls. We play today, we're disappointed. Don't win the game, but we'll dust ourselves down and we get ready for Thursday. This club's about moving on quickly and getting ready for the next game.
Yeah, some interesting points there by Stephen Bradley. The Aviva Stadium crowd yesterday, 33,208 people. And just to put that into perspective, only 3 of the 8 fixtures played in the Premier League over the weekend had bigger attendances. So Bows and Rovers had a bigger crowd than 5 of those matches, including the Liverpool game away to Wolves, Arsenal away to Leicester, and Chelsea away to Brighton. So I think that is it's quite the statement, isn't it? In the Premier League, leaders Liverpool beat Wolves 2-1, and Tottenham got back to winning ways, 1-0 win over Manchester United. And in Gaelic games, Donegal continued their fine form in Division 1 of the Allianz Football League. Comprehensive victory at home to Armagh. Donegal topped the standings, 3 wins from 3. Mayo got their first win of the campaign after beating Tyrone, wins for Cavan. And Roscommon in Division 2 and Division 3, victories for Laois, Clare, Kildare and Offaly, while Limerick, Tipperary and Wicklow won in Division 4. Before I go, the draws for the Glen Dimplex Camogie Championship confirmed, and the group stages will look like this for the season ahead. Group 1 made up of Cork, Tipperary, Limerick, Wexford and Clare, and then Group 2 will be Galway, Dublin, Waterford, Derry, Kilkenny. They all go head-to-head. The championship gets underway on the 24th of May.